here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, today with us, we have Mr. Ashley Mote, who is a member of the European Parliament representing Great Britain, and he's going to be talking about what's happening as far as the European Union, what's happening as far as the European currency. And you must understand, if you're out there listening to us, that what is happening in Europe, it simply foreshadows what's happening in America. You see, the reason that we're not building a fence between the United States and Mexico, we're trying to curb immigration, is because the real purpose of the leaders of both of our political parties is to merge America into a North American Union. And that is, of course, what NAFTA and CAFTA are all about. And gradually then transferring our sovereignty to international control, because we have traitors working in Washington, D.C., who've sworn to uphold our Constitution, but they have no intention of doing it, of course, because they have a different worldview. And, of course, then comes the unified currency. And in Europe, you have a euro. Here in America, we'll have the Amero. So we need to understand what is going on in England and what's going on in Brussels today to understand what lies ahead for America. Mr. Mote, thank you so very much for being with us again. Mr. Mote?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us again.
It's a great pleasure.
Tell me what is going on, and what are the issues you as a member of the European Parliament see as the threat to British sovereignty?
Well, there are several, and they are all quite serious. One is the European Union Constitution, which many of your listeners will have heard has not been approved by the French and the Dutch. But the reality is that much of what was in that constitution is still being implemented by the bureaucrats in Brussels, even though there is no legal basis for their continuing with the project. And what you were saying just now about a disregard for the rule of law and constitutional matters, I'm afraid we are experiencing in the UK and in Europe as a whole, or the European Union, in a way which is very alarming, very worrying, and is proceeding at a pace which many of us who object to it find extremely difficult to stop.
Well, isn't it really that your parliament now, your entire structure of government, is simply a more or less a figment of imagination? In other words, they're there, but they really don't have the power. Aren't the major decisions being made in Brussels?
That's absolutely right. The parliament that we elect to Westminster, which is the English or British parliament, which used to be a sovereign parliament and used to be responsible for all the laws that govern this country, frankly, that institution has long since disappeared. It still exists in that it functions, it still exists in that it has members, but they no longer make decisions on that of that magnitude. Something like 70 to 80% of all the laws that the British Parliament now passes were made and approved in Brussels and were sent to Westminster effectively to be rubber stamped, and in most cases the British Parliament has no right, no power to change a single word of any of them.
And of course this is exactly what is increasingly happening here in the United States. Or Congress can say whatever they want to, they can posture and have the talks and speeches, but the decisions as to the course of America are being made by non-elected officials.
That's right, exactly the same thing.
Hold that thought, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Ashley Moat, who is a member of the European Parliament, elected by people in Great Britain. And so he attends the meetings that are held in Brussels and elsewhere in Europe of the European Parliament. But even the European Parliament really does not have a great deal of power. The power is held by an unelected bureaucracy that rules not only Great Britain, but all the countries of Europe. And, of course, it doesn't really matter that the people of France refused to ratify the European Constitution, or I believe it was the people of Holland refused to ratify it. The people who are in control don't care what the people want. They have their own agenda. So with that as a background, please go ahead and proceed with your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, what I was about to say is that we are seeing what has rightly been described as a hollowing out of our institutions. And it started with our Parliament. Our Parliament still exists, but it doesn't have any substance to it anymore. And if you look at the various institutions which are responsible for various aspects of government, take, for example, our Civil Aviation Authority, which has been for generations widely regarded as one of the world's best aviation authorities, in that it was responsible for air safety, it was responsible for airworthiness, it was responsible for the management of air traffic control, it was in the vanguard of technological advance for many decades. But now it answers to a brand new European Aviation Safety Agency, which exists in Cologne in Germany, the principal of whom, a man called Dr. Lowe, who is a German, has never even visited Britain. The head of technical specification certification is a Frenchman. He has never done business in the UK either. And these two men, and others like them, in Cologne, are now largely responsible for civil aviation safety in Great Britain. And they know nothing about the culture, they know nothing about the skills which once were applauded around the world from the Civil Aviation Authority in London. And there are people there with a lifetime's experience of these things who are leaving. And that institution, effectively now, is just a bureaucratic rubber stamp of the Cologne EASA.
And I think it's what's so important for our listeners to understand, that this is what they refer to as democracy. The people get a chance to vote for the parliament and the government structure in England, but they really have no control. It's controlled from without. We'll be right back here with Mr. Moat. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Mr. Ashley Moat, who's a member of the European Parliament, and he's simply pointing out that, the duly elected officials in Great Britain, the Parliament, the democratic structure of England is simply a figurehead. It is there to make the people feel that they're electing their officials, but the real decisions dealing with the future of Great Britain and all of Europe are being made by other men who are little known to the average Britisher, person, citizen of England. They're being made by people who are appointed by the bureaucracy, an unelected bureaucracy that today rules England and rules all of Europe. And, of course, the English people were lied to by their leaders, who said, "Oh, no, we don't want a supranational authority. Why, the European Union will never become a government. Oh, it's just simply a trade mechanism." And that was all a lie, wasn't it, Mr. Moat?
Oh, outrageous lie. If you go back, and unfortunately none of us at the time actually read all these treaties. We all took what our politicians told us was to be more or less correct. And it was a pack of lies. And I think if the people of this country had known what they were getting into, they would never have agreed. I don't think there's any doubt at all about that. I now know, because I've spent a year working in Brussels as an enemy within the camp, so to speak, that there are some 3,000 secret committees who spend all their time advising the bureaucrats on what to do. We don't know who those people are, not a single member of the elected parliament sits on any of them. We don't know what their powers are. We don't know who pays them. We cannot fire them. We don't know what their agendas are. and they are the driving force behind this bureaucratic system of government.
And you see, these are secret committees?
Yes, 3,000, over 3,000 of them.
3,000 secret committees operating, and it doesn't really matter that the British people have never voted in favor of the European Union Constitution, have they?
No, of course not. They wouldn't ever be allowed to, because the government of the day knows perfectly well that it would fail.
And so, really, it doesn't matter what the people want. Aren't they going ahead and simply, step by step, implementing these fraudulent laws that will, of course, control every aspect of life in Great Britain?
Exactly so. I mean, it is an insult, if I may say so, to describe them even as laws, because they're not laws in the sense that they have been democratically discussed and amended and changed and argued over by elected representatives of the people. We as the Parliament have no powers to initiate legislation. We cannot repeal legislation. We are there as an elaborate fig leaf of democracy. We're there to give an illusion of accountable democracy. There's no such thing.
And of course, remember, Mr. Moat is an elected member of this European Parliament, and as he said, it is all simply a flower dressing. It's simply to give the people the idea that you have elected representatives in Brussels that somehow can do something, but everything is being decided by secret committees.
And that was what the plan was from the outset.
Well, what about the European currency? Is this a factor? And certainly the European currency was supposed to be gold-backed, was supposed to be a stable currency, was supposed to eventually challenge the predominance of the American dollar. What's really happening with your currency?
Well, as I'm sure you appreciate, those claims that were made for it were absurd at the time, let alone now. First of all, we're talking about a dozen or so countries, all with very different economies and economic cycles, all trying to work as if they had a single, well, they do have a single currency, but it also means they have a single fiscal policy, they have a single monetary policy, and they have a single exchange rate and a single interest rate. And you have a situation, for example, as a result of that nonsense, where in Ireland you've got inflation out of control and interest rates at 2%. 2.25%, and you've got an economy in Germany which is flat on its back, with virtually no growth to speak of, and they've also got an interest rate of 2.25%. Now, in both cases, those figures are wrong. The Irish need an interest hike of some substance because they need to get inflation under control, and the Germans need as low an interest rate as possible to get their economy moving again. So the idea that one interest rate fits all, which is the inevitable consequence of having a single currency across all these different countries and different economies, is demonstrable nonsense.
Well, now, my understanding, of course, under the European Constitution, people can then come from, say, Eastern Europe into Germany or other productive countries and undercut the workmen there, work for less, and of course they're having a real problem, you know, as far as the employment in Germany. My understanding, what is 10 or 12% unemployment?
Unemployment in Germany is certainly into double figures, so it is in France. You've got high unemployment in many other countries as well. Excuse me. In the Great Britain, ironically, and not part of the Eurozone, we still have the pound sterling, thank goodness, we have an economy which has been doing quite well. Last year was a bad year, or not as good as the others, but that's because we also have a socialist government which has put up taxation to the point where it's now stifling enterprise, but that's a different matter. That is essentially a local matter. But the fact is that we have a very different pattern of employment behaviour right across the European Union, and that is about to get much, much worse because of all this free movement of labour right across from Hungary and the Balkans and the Baltic states in the east, all the way across to the UK and Ireland.
Well, of course, wasn't one of the big problems that they're having, having in Europe is the fact that they have to keep taxes so high to provide all the benefits, all the pensions for the people there, all the health care benefits, all these wonderful socialistic programs that they have that there's no money to pay for. And, of course, most people don't understand that government doesn't have any money. The only money that any government has is what it takes from people by taxes, and what it does, why it slows down the economy, what it can actually print, and print more money, you get inflation, or what it can borrow, and then that money has to be paid back. So aren't many of the European governments having real financial problems maintaining this wonderful utopian welfare state they promised?
Yes, but all taxation is theft. The fact is that we are now seeing an increase in levels of taxation. When we elected, in our stupidity, a Labour government in 1997, the total amount of tax take was something like 37%, which is not much higher than in the United States. It's now over 42%. Now, that's a huge additional tax burden. And, of course, it doesn't all go on health and education and services for the sick and the vulnerable and the elderly and all the rest of it. What it actually goes on is more and more bureaucrats shuffling paper and making regulations to make sure that the wrong person doesn't get too much benefit from the state. I mean, you're creating an enormous additional public sector, by which I mean employees of the state. And we have a huge growth in employment in the last few years, but if you actually analyse where it's come from, the biggest additional source of employment has been the British state.
I think that same thing is happening here. We hear trumpeted, oh my goodness, in last month we had 212 or 225,000 new jobs. But the vast majority, or a significant number of them, were government jobs. There were only 11,000 manufacturing jobs created in the last month in the United States. And then, of course, General Motors plans to lay up 30,000 and Ford 20 or 30,000. That certainly far offset these 11,000 new manufacturing jobs. And I'm sure you're having very, very similar things over there in Great Britain, aren't you?
Well, the net effect of all this, Stan, of course, is to export jobs. What we're actually doing is seeing jobs going to China, to India, to the various other parts of the Far East, even, dare I say it, to the United States. Because we're pricing ourselves out of markets. The French have already done that. They have a social welfare system and a level of government spending which is even more excessive than the one I've just been describing here in England. And their economy has suffered as a direct result of that, and they too are finding that jobs are quite literally being exported.
Well, now, is any part of this exporting of jobs related to this, to the European Union, of this whole idea of you have this central authority and they're going to create this utopian system, but aren't they very well, certainly with your lack of tariffs as far as the rest of the world concerned, aren't they actually creating a situation where European jobs are being exported both to India and China and elsewhere?
Yes, you are, because on top of what I've just been saying, you also have things like, for example, the Working Time Directive. And would you believe, in all seriousness, the European Union has decided that any one individual is not permitted to work more than 48 hours a week, whether he wants to or not. We also have what is known as health and safety legislation, which lays down limits on what can and cannot be done, for example, on building sites. And I won't go into the boring details, but some of it is absolutely absurd. And the effect of all of that, of course, is to crucify enterprise and to discourage people from taking risks.
And, of course, they either shut down or they move to another country where, of course, they will not have all the rules and regulations.
Correct.
Well, they'll not have to pay the massive government taxes. And, of course, that's why so many of our own industries here in the United States are moving to China. They don't have all the rules and regulations. They don't have the EPA. They don't have OSHA. And, of course, they can just go over there and produce and make lots of money. and take their jobs with them.
Yeah.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Ashley Mote, who is a member of the European Parliament, elected from Great Britain. Well, Mr. Mote, does the average person in Great Britain realize that the sovereignty of your nation is being taken away simply by subterfuge?
I think more and more people are realizing it. It was a part of the great project which originated in the Treaty of Rome 50 plus years ago, that it would be done very slowly, and each step would be a tiny, insignificant, or apparently insignificant step. Yeah. But it would all be in the same direction. And it was only after several decades that it became really clear to a lot of people as to what actually was happening, or indeed had by then happened. And of course the reaction now is a mixture of, gosh, we should never have let this happen, and followed very quickly by, how on earth are we going to undo it? And a lot of people are very despondent about the fact that it might be almost impossibly difficult to undo it.
And so the great traditions of Great Britain that has been around for almost 1,000 years are already under attack today.
Oh, absolutely.
And the average Englishman certainly is beginning to discover it's been all been a lie. They've been consistently lied to by the leaders of both of their political parties, haven't they? Have any of them really spoke out and explained exactly what was happening?
Very few, and none of them currently on the political scene that I can think of, with perhaps one exception. There was a man who spoke out in the 60s and 70s about immigration and the huge increase in multiculturalism at the time, a man called Enoch Powell, who came to the United States on more than one occasion and lectured extensively on the same subject, I believe.
Yes, and we were very, very familiar with him, never met him, but he was certainly a very courageous individual. He was actually an MP from Ireland, wasn't he?
He did have a seat in Ireland at one time, but he also sat for a seat in the West Midlands until he lost because of his views on immigration and so on, and then he won a seat in Northern Ireland. He sadly died and has not been a figure as charismatic or as courageous, as you put it, since in public life. Excuse me.
But
it's one of those days, I'm afraid, or it has been. But the fact is that people like me, and happily there are a growing number, are becoming very vocal. We are trying to draw attention to what has happened, and I believe that in due course we will find a solution, and we will restore the right of the British people to govern themselves. What we're going to find almost impossible to do is turn the clock back in terms of preserving our identity as an Anglo-Saxon nation, because we have seen such a huge influx of other cultures over the last 10 years in particular, that it would be, in practical terms, utterly impossible. We have imported a great deal of crime, we have imported a great deal of poverty, we've also imported a great many men and women of talent, and I must say that, but we have become a grossly overcrowded island.
Well, of course, the whole theme of these internationalists is to create multicultural societies and to do away with tradition, to do away with these an Anglo-Saxon culture, and simply merge it into this world culture that these people dream of.
Yes, we are seeing a deliberate use of the movement of people on a vast scale to dilute national identity. There is absolutely no question in my mind about that whatsoever. It is exactly the same as happened in the Soviet Union in the period between 1920, 1930, and 1960, 1970.
Well, now we've seen a tremendous unrest in France here recently, with, of course, the burning of some 9,000 cars and 10 or 12 days of rioting. Of course, that had to be planned. You would expect that they would have put a curfew on the first night. They waited 12 days until it got completely out of hand, and now they're using that unrest, racial unrest, which they've created in France, now to justify taking away the freedom of all Frenchmen. Can you see something similar happening in Great Britain, or is there the potential for that?
Oh, it's not just the potential, it is happening here and elsewhere. These are what are known in the cynical circles of high politics as beneficial crises, by which I mean the crisis itself, whatever it might be, in this case, rioting on the streets by malcontent immigrant communities.
We're going to have to hold that thought right there. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. They go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, and this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Ashley Moat, who is a member of the European Parliament, and of course represents a segment of Great Britain in this European body. But as Mr. Moat has said, the European Parliament is simply a figurehead. It's simply a rubber stamp for what is decided by secret committees that supervise the bureaucracy. And Mr. Moat has said there are 3,000 secret committees that are determining what's going to go on. And even as a member of the European Parliament, they're unable to find out who is on these committees, who's really running things. How could that possibly be true? Where is the outcry from the people?
Well, the fact of the matter is that most people don't know. I've been studying this subject. I've written books on this subject for several years, many years. I became a member only last year, much to my surprise, because I did not expect to get elected, but I was. And it's taken me nearly a year to discover that there are these 3,000 committees. There were clues, but we finally, myself and a number of other members who feel much the same as I do about these things, we were probing quite hard for many, many months. We asked a lot of difficult questions, and eventually it became apparent what was actually going on. And I suppose the biggest clue was the fact that the detail in many of the proposed directives and regulations that were pouring out of Brussels and have been ever since the project started and continue to do so every day, the detail in them is absolutely astonishing. And there has to be a source of such detailed information way beyond the abilities of a handful of bureaucrats. And eventually the commission admitted that these committees exist and they are briefed to look at every aspect of public life and to regulate it almost to a standstill. I mean, that's not the brief, but that's the effect. Just take transport, for example. We now have new regulations being proposed on railways, on trans-European roads, on the size and weight of bridges, on the specifications for driving licenses, for the size and specifications for headlamps on vintage vehicles. I mean, you name it, they've got a regulation for it. And in a sense, it was almost inevitable that such an organization underneath the surface had to exist. Otherwise, you could never have generated this amount of legislation.
And, of course, it becomes legislation, really more by edict. You don't necessarily vote on this. You don't have anything as a member of parliament to say about any and all of this massive bureaucracy, do you?
Well, we are allowed, if you like, condescendingly called debate it, but in reality our debates are no more than a series of talking shops, more or less, to each other. Nobody has to take any notice of anything any of us say. Yes, we are allowed to vote on whether these regulations should proceed into law or not, and that's the rubber stamping process. And it is certainly true that in theory, and very occasionally, like twice in the last 10 years, the Parliament has rejected a proposal for a new law, and that has then gone back into the grinder, so to speak, and has not been rejected. We as a Parliament have rejected it, but the Commission doesn't take no for an answer. And within the matter of a year or two, these same proposals re-emerge in a slightly different form and they try again.
Well, of course, here in the United States, why, they just go ahead and implement them. The Senate of the United States rejected the Biodiversity Treaty back in the 1990s, and it really didn't matter that the Senate had rejected it. They're implementing it anyway. The government has rejected the Kyoto Protocol, but we are certainly step-by-step implementing it. So we have very, very similar problems in both your country and mine, is that we have people who really don't believe in the democratic process. They talk about democracy, but they use that as a shield. It makes everybody feel good. Oh, we voted for the president, we voted for our congressman or senate, but it's really, there is a plan, it's being carried out, irrespective of what the people of Great Britain or what the people of the United States want. They call that democracy.
Well, we were talking before the last break, you remember, about beneficial crises, which is another window on the same perspective. We are seeing now the crisis over terrorism, so-called, the crisis over the increase in racial tension and so on, used to, in the UK at the moment, to abolish habeas corpus. We're seeing an erosion of the use of trial by jury. We're seeing the reintroduction of double jeopardy, which has been on our statute books for hundreds of years. And these are all done on the excuse that we have a crisis in terms of terrorism and so on, and therefore we need to have exceptional laws to deal with it. And most of those arguments are utterly spurious and unjustified.
Well, of course, we're seeing exactly the same here in America. And as our young men go overseas to supposedly fight for freedom in the Middle East and democracy, we are losing our freedom at home, and I suspect the same is true for the British troops who are over in Iraq. And, of course, it's the attention of the British people is focused on the unfolding events and the terrible things that are happening, and the British deaths and the bombings and all of the things that are going on. There would be the torture or the use of white phosphorus on civilian populations to burn people to death, in total contradiction of all international laws. And our attention is focused there, both in Great Britain and here in the United States. We're losing our freedom.
We are. we're also losing a vast amount of money. If we can perhaps move on to fraud and corruption.
All right, let's go. Let's get into that.
Sorry, say again?
You go right ahead and get into the fraud and corruption, because we have our share here. There are over 1,000 contracts that were put out for the Katrina hurricane. Over 1,000 of them being investigated for fraud. Over $65 billion spent, and most of it was fraudulent, going to friends of people in government.
Yeah, well, we have the same thing. I'm very interested in this particular subject, and I sit on what is called the Budget Control Committee, which is responsible for looking at the accounting procedures and so on, and I have to tell you that it is absolutely terrifying. We now know, for example, that 80% of all the 100 billion euros a year that the European Union handles, 80% of it is not properly accounted for. Now, I'm not saying it's all fraudulently used or spent. What I am saying is that we don't know that it isn't. I've also prized out of the bureaucracy and admission in the last few months that they have over 200,000 bank accounts all over the world. Oh, excuse me. I've also discovered that some of those are offshore. Now, how on earth a government institution can justify holding offshore bank accounts is quite beyond me. We know that there are 400 or so imprest accounts which are used to funnel money for projects into third parties, and not one of those has ever been audited. And the scandal just goes on and on and on. For example, last week alone, we discovered that there are now 49 cases of potential fraud being investigated in Romania, Bulgaria, and the West Balkans. And not one of those countries or areas is even a member of the European Union. And we've apparently pumped money into those areas in advance of their becoming members, and it's being misused. I mean, it's just breathtaking.
Well, of course, is anything going to come out of it, or are they going to have the investigation and then just sort of whitewash it?
Oh, yeah. We have a court of auditors, which is part of the system. Ostensibly, it's there to be seen as an independent auditing function, but in fact, it is a creature of the Commission. It supposedly answers to the Parliament, but the Parliament has no power. The Court of Auditors has no power. It cannot enforce investigation. And last month, for example, the President of the Court of Auditors gave us a summary of his views of the 2004 accounts, which yet again have been qualified. He admitted that his opening balances didn't reconcile with the closing balances of the previous year. They don't have an accurate record of the assets and liabilities. There have been provisions retrospectively changed in previous year's accounts. I mean, all of this is fraudulent on an outrageous scale. And nobody cares. A monkey's, if you'll pardon the euphemism. And I don't see any chance whatever of that that problem of being tackled effectively, as long as the structure of the European Union and its institutions remains as they are.
Well, you know, of course, we've seen the same thing with the United Nations, for Kofi Annan's son, and so many UN officials and even other government officials, you know, were involved in dishonest activity and, frankly, stealing money under this oil for food or whatever it was program. But you can be sure that Kofi Annan's son's never going to go to prison. Certainly we see this sort of thing happen here in the United States, where Halliburton over in Iraq is stealing all sorts of money and you know, providing gasoline at $2 or $3 a gallon that you could buy any place over there for 50 or 60 cents a gallon, and they have to get a little of the money back, but nobody ever goes to prison for these grievous stealing from the American taxpayers, and I assume it's the same thing with the European taxpayers.
I think it is institutionalized. I think it is part of the nature of government in the modern world, and I think that's a terrible thing. It's a thing I would never have expected to say, but I really do believe we have arrived at that stage. I think the standards of moral behavior and the standards of personal responsibility, which used to be modest, if not high, in some cases, in public life, they have all been eroded. There are a tiny handful of people who you can honestly look in the eye and say, this man is a good man, he's a straight man.
Well, at one time, Great Britain was a Christian nation, and the men there were answerable to God before they were answerable to government or to the people. But that seems to have gone by the way. I had the opportunity of doing a radio program there, a talk program, on one of you're probably your only major talk radio program there out of London. And because I brought up Christianity and the fact that I felt that we needed moral people who feared God, why, apparently after I got out the program, people were calling in for hours afterwards complaining that anybody would bring up something as mundane as Christianity.
Well, I can understand your view and your reaction to that. It is a fact, I'm afraid. Whether you are a religious person or not, you can still abide by what one might describe as the normal codes of moral behavior.
Right.
But that simply doesn't seem to exist in public life today, with a few, I readily accept, with a few distinguished exceptions.
Well, certainly you would not want to include Tony Blair in those exceptions.
No, I would not. Absolutely, I would not.
And what a tragic situation it is when we look at our politicians today, and we really can't trust what they say. Mm. And both in the United States and certainly in your country as well. Well, how are we going to be able to help you reach the English people? Can we get them on the Internet to listen to our programs or our shortwave broadcasts? Or is there anybody over there who's trying to utilize the media to reach the British people? Because here in America, our media is controlled. If it weren't that we had the Internet and shortwave and, of course, talk radio, where we actually go out and buy time on stations, there's no way that the American people would get the truth at all. But at least some people are getting the truth. What about in Great Britain? Are any of the people there really understanding what's happening? Because without the ability to communicate, there's no way to preserve freedom.
Well, you've touched on a very important point indeed here, and you are absolutely right. And in a funny way, I'm afraid, I have to say that you in the United States are probably ahead of us. We do not have the sort of radio station that I'm talking to now. I have done more broadcasting in the United States on talk radio, including your good selves, than I have done in the whole of the rest of Europe ever since I got involved in politics. That is the fact. The media here are very tightly controlled. They are mostly, but not entirely, in the hands or under the influence of the government of the day. They almost entirely support the European project for one reason or another, or their proprietors do. And as for genuine, independent, mass circulation media of one kind or another, supportive of our view or concerned about these fundamental issues as we are, they simply don't exist. And yes, please, is my answer to your question. Anything that can be done from your end to encourage people in the UK and the rest of Europe, for that matter, to listen to broadcasts of this kind or to listen on the Internet, so much the better, and all strength to you.
Well, we'll do the best that we can. Now, do you have a website or some means by which people could get your information?
You're very kind to prompt me. Thank you. Yes, I do. My website is www.ashleymote, that's all one word, ashleymote, .co.uk. It is a very full website. You can dig around there and see a massive amount of material on fraud and corruption, on immigration, on what I call the secret heart of the European Union, which is what we were talking about earlier when I talked about those secret committees. It's all on the website, and people will be very welcome. They can contact me, they can get hold of my books and videos and so on, and the more the better.
Now that's Ashley, Ashley Moat, one word, dot, C-O, is it? Dot
oh, yes, C-O.UK.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, let me suggest that you go there, get Mr. Moat's information. He's on the cutting edge of this. He's a member of the European Parliament. And the articles that are there, the books that are there, well, I hope that we can get you back onto our program in the not-too-distant future. You keep us abreast of what's really going on.
Be delighted.
Good night. And God bless. I know it's well past midnight there, but thank you so much for staying up to be with us here at Radio Liberty.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. And it really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blowing from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly, and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and sort of the same things are happening here in the United States that are happening in Great Britain. There is a plan. It's a plan to bring about a one-world government. Who's behind the plan? Who's behind the 3,000 secret organizations and committees that are determining what's going to happen in Europe? Secret organizations that even members of Parliament don't know about? Well, there is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. You'll certainly want to get our three pamphlets. They're only $3.95 each, or all three of them together for $9.95. They're called The Occult Hierarchy Part 1, The Occult Hierarchy Part 2, and Part 3. And you'll actually get quotations from their own publications. I read their publications. There really are secret societies. There really are people who've given themselves over to the dark side. And so we hope you'll call us at 1-800-544-8927 and get our publications on the occult hierarchy. And if you haven't read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And, of course, you can get it on the book. You can get the video, the audio tape. You can get all three of them together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And soon we hope to have the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD. It's a DVD of the two-hour talk I gave some time ago. I think it's probably one of the best educational tools we have because you can sit there and you can watch that over and over again. I had one lawyer call me and told me he'd watched it 6 times and he learned something new every time he watched it. Well, we want to get this onto DVD. We're going to have it done professionally. And this will be the last time we'll make an announcement on this. We have just about enough people to finance it. But if you will make a pledge of $99 and call in, you're going to have to do it today. Why, we will give you, when we get the DVDs, 25 of the DVDs, the Brotherhood of Darkness DVDs, and you can sell them or you can give them away or you can lend them, which is what we hope you'll do, to try to get people to watch, to begin to understand that there really are secret societies. Here in the United States, between 2 and 3 million nations and with their families, probably 10 million people, 5 of our last presidents, 12 presidents have been Masons. Another one was de Molay, and of course, that is a boys' club for Masons. The 6 of our last 12 presidents have been members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the secret society that created the Council on Foreign Relations came out of Masonry. There really are secret societies. Well, if you'd like to help us, and of course, end up with 25 DVDs of my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, give us a call today at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'll certainly put you on the list. And when they're available, why you'll get them. And hopefully it'll be within about a month. So we want to get that underway. We want to get those DVDs out as far and as wide as we possibly can. I think we'll help people. Another thing that you will want to get will be my talk on planned population reduction. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they really do intend to do harm to our children and to kill off a large part of our population. Why do you think that it is that 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality and or behavioral abnormality? Never was that way before. Why do you think that according to the government's recent testing there in Tennessee, where, of course, the local people were so happy that in mathematics the fourth graders got 87% on average, and when the federal government tested them, they got 21%. They are intentionally dumbing down our children. And not only that, but they're intentionally doing harm to their minds. The fluoride, the mercury, the aspartame, all of these things have a terrible effect on the developing minds of our children. And when they graduate from high school, so many of them cannot really compete in the labor market with children from other schools, where they, of course, pursue excellence and we pursue mediocrity. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a free newsletter, give us a call. We'll send you one. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again. May the Lord be with you.